Welcome to the Spotting Session. I'm your host, Dana Solomon, film composer and keyboardist. This is episode number one. The topic that I'll be discussing with you today is what will help a music composer grasp a film director's project. So basically, I just wanted to welcome you to my first episode, my first podcast of the Spotting Session. And my intentions with this podcast and specifically for this particular episode is directed towards people that are probably not already composing, although hopefully people that are doing some composing or something will enjoy this as well, of course. But my intentions are to try and give some information to those people that love doing music or they have thought about maybe venturing into music. And they are particularly maybe considering venturing into doing some, you know, work as a composer. They want to score some soundtracks for maybe some films like short films or documentaries or even a feature, or, you know, maybe get on an episodic with somebody that's online. So those people that maybe have already been doing some things with their own digital audio workstation, like, you know, a lot of the beat makers out there that are already doing, you know, maybe like electronic music, like you're doing house music or, you know, what we term as EDM, or you're doing hip hop, or, you know, whatever types of things you're doing. You already have a lot of the skills acquired and you're already doing a lot of things with audio recording and mixing and so forth and mastering and doing everything yourself. But you're not quite certain how some of that translates over into composing music. And believe it or not, a lot of the skills that you're using as, you know, a producer or songwriter or beat maker, they're applicable and transferable over to the world of composing. So I'm, you know, looking to try to shed some light on answering some questions that maybe you had always thought of in the back of your mind when it comes to composing and, you know, what's the threshold of difficulty to get into it and how involved in it and what type of techniques and things do I need to do? So again, with this particular episode, this first one, what will help a music composer grasp a film director's project? I'm going to get into some of the topics of this episode, which is certainly going to span probably more than just one part to this episode, but I want to be as thorough as I can so that I can help you as much as possible. So with saying all of that, thank you again for taking the time to listen, and let's get started. So the first topic that I want to talk to you about in relation to answering this question of our episode is what's called the spotting session. And what is a spotting session? That's one of the ways that a film composer contributes to working on a film project. You're going to encounter what's known as a spotting session. So, ironically enough, my podcast is called The Spotting Session. And the first topic that we'll be speaking of, I'm going to give you a definition so that you'll have an understanding of what that is if you've never heard this term before in filmmaking. So what I want to do is I want to read you an excerpt off of Wikipedia online explaining to you what a spotting session is. So if we look that up in Wikipedia, it says that spotting refers to the process of deciding where within a film the musical score and sound effects will be located. It's a process often referred to as spotting for sound. So spotting takes place after the director locks the film, which is an act signifying their decision that no more shot changes will be made to the piece. I also want to give another definition from Spitfire Audio, which is a major sample library company in the UK, who some of their sample library content that I use, besides some of the other professional sample libraries that I use for composing and creating music. So on one of their, a part of their website, they give an explanation about a short excerpt on the spotting session when it comes to scoring a film. So in their own words, they say the purpose of the spotting session is to take notes so you can create a cue sheet. Now the word cue, which is spelled C-U-E, cue, refers to a musical start. They can operate as part of the scene or straddle several. So one last definition I want to give you from another source is from the company Sweetwater here in America that sells music gear and software and so forth for musicians worldwide. So they have an article that they actually wrote back in 1999, December 2nd of 1999, and it's called The Spotting Session, and you should be able to find it in their part of the website, their page called InSync, I-N-S-Y-N-C, InSync. And so this excerpt gives their definition of a spotting session. So this is what Sweetwater says. In music for movies, it is common for the composer, music editor, and director to view a rough cut of the project to discuss and determine when and what types of music might be beneficial throughout the picture. This is known as spotting or as a spotting session. The music editor generally will produce a series of spotting notes from this meeting that become a list of cues that later become part of the score. So now you have an idea of what a spotting session is from the definitions of three different sources. Basically, if I had to try to explain this in layman's terms, in my own words, the best way for it to finally sink in, if you're still not quite understanding what a spotting session is in relation to you as a composer and who you're dealing with as a director and how it benefits their project, is the spotting session basically is a moment for you as a composer to find out what type of music and how much of your composed music will go into a particular scene for their project. In other words, they may have a scene that starts at 4 minutes and 23 seconds and some frame. The director tells you, well, you know, I need something that's going to be, you know, not too dramatic, not too overpowering, something that kind of has a minimal feel, but I want a nice little undertone to it. Doesn't protrude too much over the character's dialogue. And, you know, I just wanted to have this nice, calm feeling, this melancholy feel to it. So it's not too overpowering, but I do want it to have some movement. I want it to transition a little bit, but it's not overpowering. It's not drawing attention to itself. And I need like about 3 minutes and 30 seconds of that till the end of that scene. That's what the spotting session is. So each particular span of music, each particular theme or piece of music that you compose as a composer, and it fits into a particular scene of that film, that in itself is what's called a cue. So you remember that being mentioned in a couple of the other different definitions and quotes that I read for you and quoted for you. They mention that as a cue. So when you're composing in the film world, a cue is basically, you know, what you would call in music production, your track or your beat. You know, when you make a beat and you put it on an album, you produce a track and you put it on an album for an artist. That's what a cue is to a film. A cue is your actual composition that you created and you're fitting it into the film at a specific location, wherever that director is saying that it needs to go and it needs to be provided for in the film project. So that's another term that's used, a cue. So that's a part of a spotting session. So basically, in essence, with a spotting session, you generally are going to have a director that's going to have the film already finished. A lot of times, not all the time, but usually the film will be what's called locked, meaning they don't have to edit it anymore. Now, there may be some occasions where you may be scoring some things, some ideas, and you're giving it to the director and they're placing it in different scenes. And then they're kind of massaging everything as they go along. And then they finish whatever they need to do for that final edit. But normally, for the most part, the film is already edited. It's done. It's locked, as they would say, meaning they're not going to make any more changes to the scene. And basically what would happen is that you would receive that film. You know, they would just give you a link so that you can download that film, whether it's from something online like a cloud sharing service like Dropbox, a file sharing service, I should say, like a Google G Drive or a Dropbox or something like that. Or it could be something as simple as like WeTransfer. You know, they just put the movie together. Like if it's a short film, it's maybe 10 minutes long or 20 minutes long or 5 minutes long. And they put it up on the file sharing service. They send you a link, you download it, and it's just a movie. So there's no soundtrack, but it's just a movie with the dialogue of all of the different characters in the storyline of the film. So then you take that film, whether it's a QuickTime file, QuickTime movie, MP4, whatever it might be, and you import it into your DAW of choice that you use. Whatever DAW you use, whatever digital audio workstation, you import it, and then you start composing to it according to the notes that you and the director agreed upon as to where music would go. So the spotting session is probably one of the most important aspects of composing for a film project. This is where you ask all the questions. This is where you find out what's needed and exactly to the detail as to how it's needed. This is where you probe and ask questions to the director to find out, what is it that you expect from me artistically as a composer? This is not the time. This is not the time for you as a composer to assume anything. This isn't for you to start going on your opinions as to what you think should go into this scene or what's there. You can express those opinions. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. But this is the time where the director usually will have everything laid out, knowing that they've already finished all editing all of the scenes and putting them together. And so they already know and have an idea of where they want music throughout their film. So they're going to have something written out already for you, typed out already for you. And they'll go down the list of each particular scene where it needs this type of music, and you'll have to compose a cue for that particular scene, and then the next scene, and then the next scene. Some scenes, some cues may only be about maybe 20 seconds long. You never know. Some scenes, it requires you to compose a cue that might be 3 minutes long. Some could be in between. You never know. So all it is you as a composer creating different types of music according to what's needed. So that's, you know, very important, the spotting session. The next topic that I certainly want to emphasize for you as a composer that's going to help out a film director in their project is communication. Communication is absolutely essential when you're working on a film project for a film director. Communication is all about you never assuming that you know what the director means. When you're having that spotting session, that's the time for you to ask questions. That's the time for you to ask every question you can think of. you know, be as detailed as you can. Be, you know, probe as much as you can. Ask as many questions as you can to find out exactly what he or she as a director is expecting of you as a composer for that scene, for that music, to deliver that cue. You know, you need to understand where they're coming from. You have to always clarify and verify what it is that they've spoken to you and repeat it so that you're not misunderstanding what they're saying. Because sometimes, you know, they can be thinking of something as a director artistically, and you're thinking of it differently artistically as a composer. So you mean well, because obviously, you know, this is your film. This is a project that you're a part of, and you're excited. You want to be a part of the filmmaking project. And understand that composing the soundtrack for a film, for video, is like 50% of the effectiveness of that project. So, I mean, you know, the directors can put in all this time to have, you know, casting calls and, you know, find the right person for the lead and supporting actor and actresses and set designers and, you know, extras and you name it, script, you know, writing the script, screenwriters and table reads and do all these types of things and finding the right cinematography and et cetera and editors. But you could have a great film and a great soundtrack that will just make that film even better. But you could also have a mediocre film with mediocre performance from the cast and have a great soundtrack that will raise the entire film to seem like it's better than what it really was. But you could also have a great film that was recorded with the cast and a lousy soundtrack, and it brings the whole thing down. And it just makes it seem average. So, yeah, music certainly is 50% of the whole experience of the filmmaking process. It's extremely important. That's why you never want to get it wrong as a composer. And you want to make certain that you are communicating effectively to the director and that they are communicating effectively to you as well. Because if you misunderstand what that director is telling you of what's needed for a particular scene and the cue that they're expecting from you, you going on an assumption will have you working, you know, a couple of hours towards a particular cue, only to find out when you deliver it back to them that that's not exactly what they meant at all. And the music may be nice, may be good, may sound great, but it doesn't fit with what it is that they expected from you for that scene. So now you have to go back and make a revision. You have to make a change, or you might have to scrap it all together. So you just wasted 2, 3, 4 hours of your time, and you just wasted the director's 2, 3, 4 hours of their time. You could have been using that 2, 3, 4 hours to do it correctly in the first place. And time is of essential essence when you're working on a film. You want to maximize all of the time that you have to get it right as much as possible. Now, I understand no one's perfect. That's just human nature. No one's perfect. Of course, no one's perfect. But if you are informed as much as possible from the get-go and you prepare yourself ahead of time, then you don't have to worry as much about not getting it right. You do it right the first time, you don't have to do it again. Even if it's not exactly what they're feeling, if you are in the parameters of what they're telling you that is needed for that cue, it's better for you to be 90 or 95% there, and all you have to do is make one or two minor tweaks, and then it's perfect for that cue, and the director can use it, and you move on, versus it being 0% or 15% of what the director intended, and you have to scrap the whole thing and start all over again. Now you just wasted half a day's worth of work or a whole day's worth of work. So don't fall into that trap. Make sure you understand that you communicate effectively and that you never just assume anything that's told to you by the director. Always repeat whatever is said to you and always take as many notes as you can. You know, whatever it is they're saying to you, if you have to tell them, just hold on a minute, stop for just 1 second. I want to write this down. I want to make sure that I have this written down. Or I want to make sure that this is recorded, what you're telling me, so that I'm not missing anything. And I want to make sure I grasp this fully. I can guarantee you, no matter how much information that director wants to tell you, they're going to absolutely appreciate the fact that you think enough of wanting to make certain that you're not missing anything that they tell you, because they know that you are just as invested in this project as they have been. And there's nothing worse than someone putting all of their time and efforts into a film project, as directors do, just to be working with someone that's just trying to get by and isn't trying to put 100% effort into the project the way you have. So don't forget that about communication. Always clarify and verify what's being told to you and what's being expected of you, and never assume that you understand what they're saying until you clarify it and verify it with the director. So the next topic that I want to go over that will help you as a composer to grasp what a film director's project needs is understanding who you are as a composer. When it comes to you being able to deliver and being able to contribute to the project as a composer, you know, ask yourself, what will help you as a composer? Are you the type of composer that may need a visual example? What will happen a lot of times is the director will use what's called a temp track. Now, composers, for the most part, hate temp tracks. Directors, for the most part, love using temp tracks. So there's a bit of a little back and forth there, a little conflict of interest, so to speak, if you want to say, in that relationship with film composers and directors. So here's how it goes. A temp track, to basically explain it in layman's terms, is basically any music that a film director or editor or whomever it is that is inserting music that they feel would work correctly for that particular scene of their project. So let's just say, there's a movie that you're working on, and there's a particular scene that the director needs you to compose, and it's an action scene that's 5 minutes long, 5+ minutes long. And in that particular scene, the director used a piece of, I don't know, let's just say they used a piece of Led Zeppelin music, rock music, classic rock, or they used a piece of the Rolling Stones, one of their songs. So they put that in there because they felt that particular song that came to their mind, that they're familiar with, just works perfect for that scene. So they edit the scene according to that music because they feel like it fits perfect. Now, of course, when they give you the scene, 9 times out of 10, they're not going to put that song in there. You're just going to get the scene without the music. You'll just receive the movie itself with just the voiceovers from the actors for that particular scene. But psychologically, in the director's mind, they've been playing and rewinding and playing and scrubbing and fast forwarding and rewinding and going back and forth over and over and over, probably almost 50, 100 times or more for just that one scene to make sure that they have it right. And they're trying song after song to see what fits here. And then they finally settle on something. And so what happens is they tell you as a composer, I need you to compose this style of music for me at this scene. But the problem is, psychologically, the director has listened to this Led Zeppelin or Rolling Stone song over 100-something times. So no matter how good your composition is that you compose for that cue, they keep comparing your cue psychologically, unknowingly, to what they kept hearing from Led Zeppelin or the Rolling Stones. And for some directors, it's kind of hard for them to get away from being objective and, you know, without any bias, listening to what it is that you delivered for them, because in their mind, what they originally used fit. So what they expect from you has to sound just like what they were listening to from Led Zeppelin or the Rolling Stones. Now, that doesn't mean that you coming up with something original is not going to sound good. It doesn't mean that you can't come up with something that fits that scene perfectly. It just might not sound like, you know, what those classic rock groups did. Doesn't mean it's not good. But then what'll happen sometimes is the director is just not going to accept anything that you do, no matter how good it is, unless it fits into the sound that they were originally listening to over and over and over again when they were trying to edit that scene and put that scene together from these well-known established groups and bands already. So that kind of puts you into a little situation. That kind of puts you into a little quandary as a composer, because now it kind of feels like you're not doing anything original. You're just mimicking another artist. You're just mimicking another musician's song. So it kind of stifles your creativity a little bit. But sometimes that happens. And sometimes, you know, you just have to kind of see how you can work through it. And, you know, the best thing I could say is that, you know, you just have to be prepared for that. Now, one of the things you can do to kind of be prepared for that is make sure that you as a composer, that you prove your idea or you state your case to the director. You got to prove yourself. You know you can come up with an original piece of music that'll nail that scene, then, you know, you got to come hard with it. You got to deliver the goods. Anything that you deliver, you want it to be your best anyway. But you absolutely have to, you know, prove to the director that you can do this. You want to make sure that they have the confidence in you, that you're capable of delivering for them what it is that they need. You know, you want to elevate the project. You want to elevate the whole film project. You don't just want to be an addition. You don't just want to be another person that's on the credits that's rolling at the end of the film. You want to be someone that really contributed to it and elevated it. You know, you want to make it better than where it's at. You have that opportunity as a composer, not just somebody that just has another project that you can name in your portfolio of things that you've started and completed. You want it to be one of those things where they remember you and they know that you're really passionate about what you're doing. You're really knowledgeable about what you're doing, and you really care with what you're working on and who you're working with. So, you know, in those moments, you know, whatever idea you come up with as a composer, you know, really just think about it and nail it. You know, just work on it. You know, put the time in so that you absolutely nail it. And it doesn't even just sound good. It sounds phenomenal. It sounds better than what they even expected. You want to blow them away with whatever you deliver for that cue, for each cue and for each scene, so that they can't do anything but just say, man, I wasn't even thinking of that. But what you came up with was just better than what I had even originally suggested. So, you know, this is great. You know, they're going to appreciate that because they're going to know that you really have your own interest as well, which would be the director's interest for this project. So, you know, think about that with who you are as a composer and how you fit into that.